Open up your Bibles this morning once again to Acts 15 and Galatians chapter number 2. Acts 15 and Galatians and chapter number 2 here. And we do want to say welcome to the folks listening by the internet as well. The Pal Talking News stream, and looks like I think Jim said you have a pretty good signal, so we're all good to go over there. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful again that we can meet this morning to look into your word and to allow your word to edify us, build us up in the faith, and to help us appreciate in a greater way, greater detail, what you're doing now in the dispensation of grace and the fact that you've made us a part of what you're doing. We pray that as we study this morning, we would certainly be grateful for who you are, who you've made us to be in Christ. In this name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, what we're going to do to get started this morning is I'm going to take just a few minutes here to review what we did last week, because I think that there was some possible confusion about it on my part, okay? So what we tried to do last week was to identify where in the book of Acts Paul wrote the book of Galatians. I had started the lesson last time by saying that we have enough information now to be able to make a reasonable, guess. But it's not really a guess, okay? But we could make a reasonable estimation as to where and when, or when in the book of Acts the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to real briefly highlight the most important points that help bring us to that conclusion. Because remember, the overall study that we've been doing here on our Sunday school class is the significant events in the life of Saul of Tarsus, his conversion, and when and where he wrote his various books. All right. So, what I want you to do, therefore, real quickly, and we've done this week after week after week after week, so this should be really solidified in your mind at this point. If you were to make the timeline, nice new marker there, of the book of Acts, what initial chapter in the book of Acts records the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? Acts chapter number 9. What other two chapters in the book of Acts record details about Saul's conversion?
22.
Chapter 22 and chapter 26. Okay, so those three chapters give you details about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. That's not the only extended passage in the New Testament about Saul's conversion, but it is significant that in the book of Acts alone, you've got three extended passages about Saul's conversion. By the way, that suggests it's kind of what? It's a big deal, okay? Really big deal, alright? Alright, so then as you move on, in terms of major events relative to Saul's conversion and the writing of his books, next we began to look at some detail, we've gone through some details about Paul's first apostolic journey. What chapters was that? 13 to 14, all right. Now, what was the major territory that Paul visited during his first apostolic journey? Galatia, okay? Galatia. Now, within that territory, there were some other territories mentioned, or some other cities. Galatia was a large territory. And then prior to that, there were some cities mentioned. What were they?
Derbe,
Lystra, cities of Iconium. That's important. Derbe, Lystra, cities of Iconium. Okay? So you want to link that together. You want to link Galatia, you've got cities of Lycaonia, you've got Derbe, and Lystra. Okay, so those, you want to link that together initially with Paul's first apostolic journey. Right? Keep that in mind. Next, we took a lot of time to comment on what happens in Acts 15. What was the major event in Acts 15? What do we typically call it? The Jerusalem Council. Okay, and then we determined that the details in Acts 15 where Luke records Paul's return trip to Jerusalem, we found that that was also recorded in one of Paul's epistles. Which epistle? And where? Galatians what? Okay, that's recorded in Galatians chapter number 2. Remember that? Galatians chapter number 2, when he tells about he went up by revelation and communicated in them that gospel which he preached among the Gentiles. Okay? Next, timeline-wise, we haven't looked into the details yet about it. We're going to start looking at it today. But next is Paul's second apostolic journey. This one here was his first apostolic journey. So the next one is his second apostolic journey. Who has the verses for that?
1541.
Yeah, it is 16, but it's actually the last verse of chapter 15. So it's 1541 to 1822. That's the second apostolic journey. Okay? So we're going to start looking at that today. And then it'll take us several weeks to go through that. All right? Now, real quickly, and I'll repeat this here in a little bit, all right? On this second apostolic journey, the significant events, or the significant cities that he goes to, it's going to be this. In chapter 16, he goes to Philippi. Remember the Philippian jailer? Okay, that's chapter 16. In chapter 17, he goes to Thessalonica. He goes to Berea. You know the Bereans? He goes down to Athens. All right, that's in chapter 17. Now, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, those are in Macedonia. Make a note of that. Those are in Macedonia. That's going to be important as we proceed. Athens, and then in Greece, Athens, it's in Greece. Athens and in Corinth, they're down in Greece. Achaia, down Macedonia and Achaia. I said Greece is down in Achaia. All right. So chapter number 18, he goes down to Corinth. Okay? Chapter 18 is in Corinth. So that's Achaia. So these are in Achaia. Okay? Everybody got that kind of big picture so far? So let me back up now. Because last week what I said was this. I said that we now have enough information to determine where or when Paul most likely wrote the book of Galatians. If Paul includes certain information in a book that he writes, if he includes some events that happened, then the book has to have been written after the events happened. So, timeline. In the book of Galatians, if Galatians chapter number 2 is the same as Acts 15, then what does that mean in terms of writing the book of Galatians relative to Acts 15?
It would have to be after the 15th
chapter. It'd have to be written sometime after Acts 15. Mm-hmm. Okay? But we also saw that in Galatians chapter 2, go to Galatians chapter 2 if you would. Hold on to Acts there. Go back to Galatians 2. Look at Galatians 2:11. What happens in Galatians 2:11? Yeah, that's true. But what specifically at 2:11, what do we
see?
Yeah. What city does Paul mention in Galatians 2:11? Okay. That's right. That's exactly right. So after Paul's trip to Jerusalem, he comes back to Antioch. After Paul comes back to Antioch, Peter comes to Antioch. So say it again, Nathan, what you just said.
They were both in Antioch.
Paul records in Galatians 2 an event, a time when both Peter and Paul were back at Antioch after the Jerusalem Council. Therefore, the book of Galatians has to have been written after that event. Everybody with me so far? So, in the book of Acts, You see at Acts 15, look back at Acts 15, and look at verse 30. Acts 15:30. There you have Paul back at Antioch. Everybody see that there? 15:30, he's back at Antioch. And he's there for some time. Okay? In Acts 16, now watch this now. Look at Acts 16:1. So now he's begun his second journey. He's in Lystra, he's in Derbe, he goes through that territory. And then look at verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of what? Region of Galatia. So see how when he starts his second apostolic journey, he goes back and he covers some of the territory he went on his first apostolic journey. Everybody, go ahead, Jim. This one here, this trip here. Yes, yes.
In some sense, that's the third time he's been here.
That's exactly right. Yes, okay. But you know, Galatians was not written until after Acts 15, for sure. Okay? So, when you think about all the details we have, in the book of Galatians, Paul mentions the Jerusalem Council. So it has to be after Acts 15. He mentioned a time when Peter and Paul were both at Antioch after the Jerusalem Council and before Paul goes to these other territories, like Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, it's when Paul is still at Antioch, when Peter was there. In the book of Galatians, does Paul make mention of any of these other territories, either Macedonia and Achaia, or Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth? Does he mention? He doesn't mention any of that. In those other books, like in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, does he mention about the churches of Macedonia? The answer is yes. Okay. Right? Same with 2 Corinthians. In the books of 1 Thessalonians in particular, does Paul mention Macedonia? Yes. So the fact that in the book of Galatians he does not mention any of those territories, but he did commonly mention those territories in books later, what does that suggest as far as when he writes the book of Galatians? It was had to have been earlier before he made any of these trips. Okay? Plus the fact that I pointed out these verses here. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter number 4 and Galatians chapter number 1. Look at Galatians 4:13. He says this. Galatians 4:13, he says this. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you. Now look at the phrase there. What's it say there? At the first. See that? So that would have been his first apostolic journey. Now look at chapter 1 of Galatians. 1:6. He says, I marvel that ye are, what? So soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Okay? So he writes the book of Galatians relatively soon after he had left the Galatian territory. But after Acts 15. Everybody piecing that together? Now I mentioned last time that after Acts 15 there, that Paul made 3 return trips to Antioch. And then I stopped myself. Remember, he said, no, there's just 2. And then I fought with myself right here in front of all you guys. I'm thinking, no, was it 3 or 2? Was it 3? Come on, and my mind's going, it was just 2. Okay? It was just 2. So it was the one in Acts 15, verse 30. Acts 15, verse 30. You'll see it there, which we actually just looked at a moment ago. Acts 15 at verse 30. He comes back to Antioch there. And then Acts 18, 22. So there are just two times, according to the book of Acts, according to Luke and Acts, that Paul goes back to Antioch after the Jerusalem Council. And that's because someone brought up that, no, he had gone more, but not after. I'm talking about after the Jerusalem Council. So that means that if Luke records only those two times when Paul goes back to Antioch, then the time when Peter and he were both at Antioch had to have been one of those two times. Period. There's no other choice. What's the problem with it being the one in Acts 22? Thank you. Acts 18:22. What's the problem with Paul waiting until it being after Acts 18:22 to have written the book of Galatians? What's the problem with that?
Too late.
Too late in the sense of... That's a true statement, but meaning what?
He mentions no other territory.
He mentions nothing about Macedonia, nothing about Achaia, no other territory, no impact on the Thessalonians, about the Philippi, about Corinth. Mentions none of that in the book of Galatians. And then you said too late, meaning when he writes the book of Galatians, he says... So soon removed. Whereas Acts 18, that would have been years and years later. So everything points to that Paul most likely wrote the book of Galatians in Acts 16. And I'll show you a verse here in just a minute. Okay? Now I will say this about that. Trying to pinpoint where Paul wrote his various books, the one that is the most difficult is Galatians. And yet, if you really think it through, it's really not. Because all the details allow you to narrow something down. Some of you all have been listening to and reading some of the material put out by Brother Brian Ross. He's a grace preacher back in the Midwest, and a really neat guy. And he's a historian. And that's what he does. He's got the big project, the Grace History Project. That time he studies history. He, you know, pulls things together. And of course, if you're a historian, and especially if you're trying to put together a timeline of historical events, by the way, I would definitely recommend reading this material. Absolutely, okay. But if you're a historian and you're trying to put together a timeline of events and so forth, the best you can do is you can gather pieces of information, when stuff was published, when it was put out, when this person talked about that person, kind of a concept, and you put all those pieces of the puzzle together to say that, okay, this happened along in this time frame. So that's what we're doing. And so even though it is somewhat difficult to identify when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, all the pieces clearly, I think, conclusively point to Acts 16 there. Okay, now, having said that, let me just kind of open this up to see if anything needs to be clarified on that. That's a dangerous thing to do, right? But anything needs to be clarified on that. Go ahead, Nathan.
Can I ask one question? You mentioned Acts 15:30 right there?
Yes. Yep.
But then the next verse it says in 31, which when they had read, they rejoiced for consolation, and I think that would mean they rejoiced in that they weren't under the law.
Yes. Yes. They read the letter from the leadership at Jerusalem. See, look, it's a really good question. Look at verse 23. And when they wrote letters by them, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greetings and so forth. Verse 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. See that? And then the letter goes on to say, verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You abstained from meats offered to idols. That's what Paul read.
So they were reading not scripture, just a letter that they...
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah, it was not an additional document that became scripture. They just read this letter from that group. Okay. Now it is scripture in the sense that it got written down by Luke. It's right there. That's what they read right there. Okay, but not in the sense of a separate book like Galatians or Thessalonians. Okay. All right. So then, what Paul does, and you're right, when it says they rejoiced for the consolation, they no doubt rejoiced. If you look back at verse 24, but back at the significance of verse 24, it says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, And then here it is, to whom we gave no such command. So we didn't send these guys out. Okay? So when Paul goes back and takes that letter to them, it's not his document. It was the confirmation of what that Jerusalem council said, that, listen, we didn't send these guys out. Okay? So he goes back to Antioch, reads them, they're encouraged. Okay? Any other questions about that? All right, now, so with no further questions on that, then now let's do this. Let's move on, and we're going to pick up today with Paul's second apostolic journey. We're going to pick up today looking at Paul's second apostolic journey. So this is going to take us from the end of chapter 15 all the way to chapter 18, verse 22. And at the pace we've been going through, this is going to take us probably until the rapture, okay? Of course, the rapture could happen today. So anyway, yeah, amen to that, right? Okay, so again, Paul's second apostolic journey. First, right now today, I want you to get the big picture. Big picture. Paul's second apostolic journey. It goes from chapter 15, is that 41, to 18, 22 there. Okay? That's when you see the details. All right? So, the thing that he does initially in Acts 16... What he does initially in Acts 16, he goes back to Lystra and Derbe. And that's where he picks up Timothy. He also goes back to the territory of Galatia. Okay? Let's read that. Watch this. And I'm going to come back and talk about Timothy here in just a moment. He says, then at the end of chapter 15, so see chapter 15, 41. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son, and that's what, Timothy, of course. He says, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So see how the three territories, you've got Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium mentioned, because that's kind of a group there. All right? It says, this him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, so you're talking Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So Nathan, back to your question, that's what that statement is right there.
Oh, okay.
See that one? He says, they delivered them the decrees. The decrees were back in chapter 15:29.
Yeah, I was thinking it.
That's correct. Yes, yes. So everybody see what it was? So Paul's purpose of going out and reading this letter to them was to really silence that argument up in the whole territory there that the Gentiles were supposed to be under the law. And he's saying, no, they're not. All right? So now watch what happens. Look at verse 5. It says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of what? Now, that's significant in relationship back to our question about when Paul wrote the book of Galatians. Because it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia and so forth, then they go to Macedonia and so forth, that Paul would have written the book of Galatians after that. In other words, if you want to pinpoint specifically, it was probably sometime right around verse 6. Right around verse 6. Now, why do I say that? Well, several reasons. He's back in the Galatian territory at verse 6. Prior to verse 6, what cities was he in?
Iconium,
Lystra, Derbe. What does it say in verse 5 about the cities? They were established in the faith.
Growing.
Does that sound like the Galatians? It doesn't, does it? Because when Paul writes the book of Galatians, they've departed from the faith. They've left the faith. So what was happening, as Paul's gone through Lystra and Derbe and Iconium, they're being stabilized. And then after he does that, then he moves back to Galatia territory. Things are out of hand there, spiritually speaking. Okay? So I take it to be that as Paul goes up in that territory, now, he's being confronted by the legalism, that wave of apostasy and legalism that has swept across Galatia there, and then he sits down and pens that book. So sometime, probably right around there is when he actually penned it, maybe within a few verses of that event right there. Okay, go ahead.
Paul has a big conference in Jerusalem, confronts Peter for his hypocrisy.
Not in Jerusalem.
And then afterwards.
Yeah, at Antioch. Yes, yeah, and we'll come back to that momentarily. Yeah, because he tells you here why he does that specifically.
Okay. He did it for the same reason Peter did what he did.
No, absolutely not. No, totally different things. We'll come back to that in just a minute, okay? Everybody understand the question he's asking? Okay, and so we'll read it here in just a second. But back to the thing about, you see when it says at verse 6 there, in the middle of verse, the regions of Galatia, there's something going on there. And that's most likely when Paul wrote that book. Okay, now, let's go back then to verse... Before I do this, just remember this now. So he gets what's called the Macedonia vision at verse 9. Jump down to verse 9. It said, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" So he said, okay, this must be the thing to do. So you can see at verse 10, he goes into Macedonia. And verse 12, what city specifically? There you go. So in chapter 16, he goes over to Macedonia. Oops. And specifically, Philippi. So make sure you have a mental... make sure you remember that. Acts 16, Philippi. Macedonia, Philippi. All right? Let me show you an interesting verse over in the book of Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians 4, 15, look at this verse. It says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the," what? "The beginning of the gospel, comma, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you know." Do you see a reference there to the beginning of the gospel? When I departed from Macedonia. When he writes Philippians, of course, he's pointing back to that time when he came to Macedonia at the very first. Some people have used this verse to say, when that verse says, the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, some people have used that verse to say that Paul does not start preaching the gospel of the grace of God until he leaves Macedonia. There are those that teach the concept, the idea that Paul is preaching two different gospels during the book of Acts. Remember that? That during that transition period, that during the first part of his ministry, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and then later on he's preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Well, what's the problem with that?
It's talking about a giving in the verse here.
It's talking about financial giving, that's true too. But he does use the phrase in the beginning of the gospel. So what would be the problem with saying Paul's not preaching his gospel until he leaves Macedonia?
Well, he's got the gospel in Galatians.
Because the gospel's in the book of Galatians. And if Paul does write the book of Galatians in Acts 16, then Paul says in Galatians, "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which I preach unto you, let him be accursed." So that would mean that prior to Acts 16, according to that theory, that means prior to Acts 16, when Paul leaves Macedonia, he actually doesn't leave Macedonia until the end of Acts 16. So chapter 17, you get to Thessalonica and then Berea and so forth, and down to Corinth. That means when Paul was in Galatia and Lycaonium and Lystra and Derbe and Philippi, he was not preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And that means that then when he changed the gospel he was preaching, then he, by his own document, would have been accursed. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
That's a major problem. So when he says there in that verse, in the beginning of the gospel, is it a reference to the beginning in the sense of his gospel wasn't around at all?
No.
What's he mean? When the gospel first came to the continent, to Macedonia. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying that I started preaching the gospel of grace of God once I left Macedonia. He's saying, you guys remember in the beginning of the gospel when I left Macedonia. He's the one who brought the gospel of grace of God to Macedonia, to that territory. Everybody see how, I mean, it's really simple when you think about that. Okay? Now let's go back, if you would, to Acts 16 there. So Acts 16, you can see he goes down to Philippi. Real quickly, the very famous verse, Acts 16, 30 and 31. Acts 16, 30 and 31, it says this. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Wonderful verse, isn't it? That's a very famous verse right there. Chapter 17, where does he go to? Okay, now he goes down to Thessalonica, chapter 17, verse 10. Where is he at?
Berea.
Chapter 17, verse 16. Where is he at?
Athens.
Now chapter 18, verse 1. Where is he at?
Corinth.
Everybody see the sequence there? Okay, so that's why I say. Chapter 16, he initially goes to Lystra, Derbe. Then he goes to the Galatian territory. Lystra and Derbe, those guys are doing not so bad. They're kind of growing in the faith. Goes to Galatia, things are falling apart. Go ahead.
When you say Galatian territory, the epistle to the Galatians is not necessarily a representative of just one local assembly.
That's correct. That's correct, yeah. Henry, let me repeat for the microphone what Henry said. He said the epistle to the Galatians is not necessarily to just one local assembly. Go with me to the Galatians chapter number 1. Look at this. Look at what he says here. Look at Galatians 1, verse 2. Galatians 1, verse 2. What's the phrase there?
Churches.
Yeah, notice it's churches. Okay, so there are several assemblies that have begun to meet in that territory. Okay, so very good question. Okay, all right. So then, in Acts 16, he goes to Macedonia. First city he comes to, first major city that he comes and establishes assembly is at Philippi. Okay, then in chapter 17, he goes where? Thessalonica, Berea, and then Athens, okay? Remember, these are in Macedonia. Athens is down in Achaia. I know I'm not spelling that right, okay? But it's Achaia is what it is, okay? A-C-H-I-A, all right? And then in chapter 18, he goes where? Corinth, okay? All right. Now, with this information, you can begin to kind of in your mind get some ideas as to when is the earliest he could have written some of the other books. Like, when is the earliest he could have written 1st and 2nd Thessalonians? Yeah, the earliest is after he visited Thessalonica. When is the earliest he could have written the in the Bible the book of Berea? Which, go ahead.
The earliest is after he'd been
there. Yeah, Berea. When is the earliest he could have written the epistle to the Bereans?
The last
Let me ask the question again. When's the earliest he could have written the epistle to the Bereans? There is no book to the Bereans, okay? That was a trick question. Come on now. Come on. Yeah. Too early, right? Yeah, way too early. Okay. Anyway. So yeah, he doesn't write an epistle to these guys and so forth. When is the earliest he could have written the what you have as 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the absolute earliest?
After chapter
18. See that there? So see how you're beginning to pieces to get some more pieces of the puzzle that you can't put them in place yet, except that they had been written after certain events. So second apostolic journey. This is what I'm trying to drill in your head right now. Second apostolic journey. He goes to Lystra, Derbe, recovers the Galatian territory. These guys are doing okay. Galatians are messed up. So he writes Galatians. Goes across to Macedonia, establishes the church at Philippi. He enters Macedonia, that territory, for the first time ever. The gospel reaches that territory. 17. Goes down to Thessalonica, Berea. That's the first time the gospel reaches God in those territories. It's beginning to spread out there. Goes down to Athens. And then in chapter 18, down to Corinth, starts the local assembly there. And then, of course, at the end of 18:22, he's back at Antioch. Okay? All right. Now let's go back and begin to get some details and related to the question that Kent had asked earlier. What's this thing about Timothy and circumcising Timothy and so forth? All right? Go back with me if you would now. Let's begin to get some of the details here on this second apostolic journey. It's when you go to 16, 17, and 18, there are a lot of details here. It's not my purpose to go verse by verse and study this all. That's not my purpose. So I'm just going to try to hit some highlights. But there are some things that we do need to slow down a little bit to get some to appreciate what's here. Watch this now. So in chapter 16, 1, so he's already started the journey. It says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Okay, question. When Paul comes back now to Lystra and to Derbe, he finds Timotheus. What are we told about Timotheus?
He was well reported of by the churches.
Therefore, he's half Jew and half Greek. He what?
He believed Paul's gospel.
He believed Paul's gospel when?
Before this.
See, by the time Paul gets back to Lystra and Derbe, Timothy is already a disciple. And not only is he already a disciple, he's well spoken of by all the brethren there. You know, if you got saved yesterday, you bring someone to this church and they got saved yesterday, you're not quite ready to, well, speak about them in the sense of they're manifesting the life of Christ yet. Do you follow that concept there? He's already a disciple when Paul gets there, and he's well spoken of. That means he's had time for the doctrine to begin to work in him. Well, if that's the case, then the question comes up, when did Timothy get saved? Yes, that's exactly right. At his first apostolic journey. Timothy got converted in connection with Paul's first trip to Lystra and Iconium and Derbe. Now, I want you to write down some verses and we're going to go look at them. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You're told here, in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul says this to Timothy about what he believed about Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 5 says this: "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So what else do you know about Timothy and his grandmother and his mother? They are believers as well. So it's kind of interesting. The suggestion is that when Paul came on his first apostolic journey to Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, probably his grandmother, well, I mean, you can see the sequence there. She first. She probably heard Paul preach. She goes and talks to her daughter, who in turn goes talks to her son. By the way, there's maybe a pattern in that, right? Right? Yeah, talk to your family about the Lord Jesus Christ, kind of a concept there. And then the grandmother believes first, and the mother, then Timotheus becomes a believer. Watch what else. Stay in the same book. This time go to chapter 3. At verse 10. He tells Timothy, by the way, remember when he writes Timothy, Paul knows he's going to die. And he turns the whole ministry over to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, I'm out of here. You're in charge. Have fun." Right? The whole church is in apostasy. See ya. Kind of a thing. You know, I'm going to glory. You have fun down here. Thank you. Right? Anyway, look at 2 Timothy 3:10. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life." Everybody with me in the verse there? Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now watch verse 11. Because he says, "Thou hast fully known my persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me," where? Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What was that? That's his first journey. What happened to him on his first journey? He was stoned and left for dead. When that verse says, "Thou hast fully known them," the obvious implication is Timothy must have seen that mob go out and stone Paul. And then Paul jumps right back up after he was left for dead. Jumps right back up, comes right back in the city and keeps preaching. That had an impact on this young man. And certainly on the grandmother and mother as well. Isn't that fascinating? And here you're in 2 Timothy, where in the last document Paul writes, he points all the way back to the beginning to Timothy to encourage him. Why do you suppose he does that? Timothy's going to face the same thing. And whatever it was that sustained Paul, not only then, but all the way through Paul's ministry, he's saying, Timothy, you're going to have to depend and rely on the same resource, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Isn't that fascinating how he does that? Okay, so quickly now go back to chapter 16 of Acts. And then, of course, you see what it says here. Verse 3 now, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So the question comes up, and rightly so, Ken asked it, is that, wait a minute, if Paul was so vehement, that's not the right word, if Paul was so insistent when he went back to Jerusalem to not allow the Gentiles to be under the law, he really fought for that, well then why does he take and circumcise Timothy? Timothy is half Jewish. Remember the verse you're told in verse 1? His mom was Jewish, his father was a Greek. And specifically you're told at verse 3, he circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. Okay? So is Paul contradicting anything in his thinking and in the book of Galatians?
No.
No and no. He's not contradicting anything in the book of Galatians because he hasn't written Galatians yet. For one thing, he doesn't write Galatians until down around verse 6. But even at that, why would Paul have been right to confront Peter like he does, which happens at the end of chapter 15. Why would he have been right to confront Peter about Peter initially eating with the Gentiles and then separating? He would have been right about that, but then circumcised Timothy? Wasn't he putting Timothy under the law? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, we're saying no. Why not? What's the difference?
It was just because of the Jews in the quarter, not the whole mixture.
That's right. What Paul is doing here, I'm going to repeat it. What Paul is doing here in circumcising Timothy, he is not backtracking on the dispensation of grace. He's not backtracking on the idea of that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile now. You're specifically told here of the reason why he does it. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with him reaching to the Jews, the unsaved Jews here. Those unsaved Jews, they all knew that Timothy had a father that was Greek. So he takes and circumcises him. Not because of religious responsibility, not because of something kind of status he's going to gain in the eyes of God, Timothy that is, okay, but specifically because of the Jews. Now what was different about that as compared to when Peter goes to Antioch, initially eats with the Gentiles and then separates himself after that? Why is that wrong? Yes, one, because Peter had confirmed publicly he recognized the dispensation had changed. Then keep going.
And he was doing it before God. Yes,
so when he was eating with the Gentiles, he was doing it before God, recognizing God's the one who made the change. Then what happens?
Fell back.
Why? Because certain came from James, and the passage specifically says, fearing them which were of the Jews.
Is that like eating meat that has been given to sacrifice to idols?
It would be a similar concept, yes. So the problem with Peter, as recorded in Galatians 2, when Paul would rebuke him, he feared the Jews. He feared the group from James. He was not doing what he was doing based upon a recognition of the dispensational change. Paul...
Very gracious of Timothy.
Well, yeah. Anyway, Paul, what Paul does with Timothy here, and no doubt Timothy has to go along with this, and he does, they're doing it specifically for the purpose to make sure that this is not going to be a hindrance to the gospel of the grace of God to the Jews. So there's a very, very different situation here. But it's a very good question.
Is it the mentality then becoming all things to all men?
That is the concept there. Yes. What he says in Corinthians later, he says, it become all things to all men, so that by all means might save some. When Paul would obey the law, for example, he's not doing it thinking, I got to do this to maintain my salvation. He's doing it because he wants to demonstrate the reality of you know, the resurrected Christ living in him. Okay? I saw another hand. John, go ahead.
What about the Jews that believed under the law, but in the grace period come on? Do they have to accept the grace period?
No, that's an excellent question. And let me repeat the question first, and then say that during the Q&A session after lunch today, we're going to deal specifically with that, because I had a really interesting email this week with someone trying to clarify, okay, what happens to those Jews who believed in early Acts, and then the dispensation of grace changes, what happens to them? So we're going to deal more with that. But fundamentally the question was this, and let me see if I repeat it correct, okay, for the benefit of those listening on the internet, is that the Jews who believed the gospel of the kingdom, like at Acts 2, Pentecost there, the 4,000 and the 5,000 that God said, there was a pretty big group by the time you're in Acts chapter number 6 and 7, you've got a pretty good sized assembly going there, you know. So once the dispensation of grace comes in, what happens to those people? Do they have to now believe the gospel of the grace of God to be saved? The answer is no. The answer is no. They still maintain their identity in the little flock.
The circumcision.
The circumcision. Exactly. That's what Peter makes reference to. That's what Paul calls them in Galatians chapter number 2. They still maintain, as long as they stayed in that group, okay, they could depart from the faith and reject it all, but because that's a different program. But the point is that they were still part of that little flock. Their program was simply postponed. It was not terminated. It was simply pushed off and delayed. It was not canceled. So eventually, you know, over time, they just eventually all died off is what happened. Okay? And will be raised at the second coming of Christ. That kind of... So we'll deal more with that during the Q&A session. The question that someone emailed to me... In fact, I had two questions related to this week. Was, well, what about Peter? Once Peter learned the change of the program from Paul, what did Peter do?
He stayed with the circumcision, explained why there was a delay.
Yeah. And my email back to them as well, what Peter was supposed to do and what he did were two different things initially. Okay, so... What's that?
The opposite of the Great Commission.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk more about that, but you're right. What he should have done was thus and so. We'll talk more about that during the Q&A. We will record that Q&A session. So if folks who's not interested can hear that. Okay, one more hand there.
It kind of makes you wonder, since Timothy's grandmother and mother seem to be religious people, why Timothy wasn't circumcised on the third day?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And the question is, let me repeat the question for the internet. Ken said it seems to be, in fact, when it says that his grandmother believed first and his mother, that why didn't they circumcise Timothy from a young age, from 8 days old?
As a Jew.
Yes. Two possible reasons. One, his father was a Greek. Maybe he said, nothing to do with that. Okay, not my boy. kind of a thing. But also, you're not exactly told when or how long that Lois and Eunice had actually believed the God of the Old Testament. Did they themselves become believers there during Paul's first apostolic journey? If then, Timothy would have been maybe 6, 7, 8 by that, you know, 9, 10 years old. So there's several possible reasons as to why he had not yet been circumcised.
The right division made all the difference, even for the grandmother and mother.
Absolutely did. I don't doubt at all. That's an excellent point. Yeah, it probably did. Yes. Go ahead, Joe.
Or that the grandmother and the mother, Timothy.
If Paul, when Paul picks up Timothy in Acts 16, Timothy is probably a young teenager, maybe middle teenager, okay, maybe 14, 15 years old. So,
which means that Eunice and the mother, that the grandmother and the mother, is in the body of Christ.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So then they were not believers under Israel.
Right, I think your question was not so much did they ever get justified before the gospel of God. The point is, if they were brought up as Jews, why would they not have circumcised Timothy at 8 days old?
They didn't believe the Jewish program.
No, they probably did. Their dad didn't. Her dad was a Greek. His father was a Greek, you're told. So probably his dad is the one that said, no, I don't think so. Yeah. But again, you're not exactly told why. So, okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll start again in about whenever you hear the music start, okay?